This doesn't make any sense.
Hello, listener, and welcome back to Hard Men to Please podcast. My name's Ethan, and I'm joined today, unfortunately, by Jared. Say hi, Jared.
Hey, that's me. It's episode 15. I mean, 16.
It's definitely episode 16. I'm running the ship. Joining us today is one of the newest Hard Men.
And, the hardest new man.
I thought we were the Hard Mentos. Isn't that what it is? Hard Mentos?
Hard Mentos, please.
Yeah. We hate that chewy shit.
No. Or that, like, the fruit-flavored ones?
No.
Not a fan. Just plain.
We don't do that. Mm-mm. Yeah, we keep it OG.
We're the hard fruity men to please.
We're minty fresh. So, before we get going into this, Frankie, did you want to give a quick intro?
Sure. My name is Frankie Aguilar, contributor to a lot of things that Jared has done over the years, for free mostly, and, yeah, just consummate Marvel nerd, so that's why I'm on this podcast here.
We did consummate this relationship also.
We consummated?
That's why you're not getting paid.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about
it. It would be illegal.
That's how that works. yeah don't you live in Utah? Gauche.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Can't do that there. Okay, yep.
Mm-hmm. So I'm pulling the hosting duties today because I was too cheap to shell out $20 to see this movie.
There you go. And is that why it's been 2 minutes that we haven't mentioned what we're talking about today?
The movie is Doctor Strange.
Oh, man. Classic Kubrick film.
Yeah, 2 minutes in, we already had the first Strangelove reference.
Yeah.
Of many, hopefully. So this is a hot new movie off the presses from Marvel.
Real hot.
So hot. Based on characters by Steve Ditko.
Mm-hmm.
The writing credits on the movie are John Spates, maybe. Other credit here I see is Prometheus. And then we got C. Robert Cargill. Yeah, Prometheus, great movie. We all loved it. Other guy, C. Robert Cargill. His other note is Sinister.
Yeah, he worked with Scott Derrickson.
Scott Derrickson, who also directed it. This movie. Dr.
Collab.
Strange. Yeah, he wrote and directed it. And you know what else I found on one of his credits? Looks like he's got a lot of horror-based movies. Sinister, The Exorcist of Emily Rose. He also has on there writing credit for Devil's Knot. Do you know what makes that significant?
Oh, to me and me alone, yes. I do.
Well, that was our screenwriter teacher, Mark Sevi, got fucked out of a writing credit for that movie. And he was in the middle of like a legal battle to get credit for it when we were in that class. And according to IMDb, he still doesn't have it. So.
And he's definitely listening to his podcast, so shout out to Mark.
Oh, hell yeah, Mark Owens.
Also, Scott Derrickson, I think is, I tried to do research on him before, but I'm pretty sure...
You got too bored and stopped.
I got too bored because it's also the same name as a photographer based out of Alaska.
Hmm.
And he seemed to get more credit on Google than this guy, so...
Jesus.
Whatever that means.
This guy's out directing Marvel Cinematic Universe movies.
Yeah.
What's that guy taking photos of? Kim Kardashian's ass?
That's probably the only thing that would get more money.
It's the only thing.
Marvel. I mean, I would be more willing to pay $20 to see that.
just see it
for free online.
Like the Idiocracy movie, except it's Kim Kardashian's ass that's you're watching for 2 hours.
So we can get through this. It stars Benedict Cumberbatch and other people.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm gonna go through all of them. Tilda Swinton. Mads Mikkelsen, Rachel McAdams.
Deep breath.
Chiwetel Ejiofor.
You know the best way to remember his name?
No.
Just imagine he's guest starring on Thomas the Tank Engine, and he's Whittle Choo Choo Engine 4.
There you go. And Benedict Wong.
I think that actually makes it more difficult, but whatever. Whatever you need.
It all works.
So, yeah, let's kick this off. Frankie, you're a self-proclaimed expert.
Oh, wow.
So you're consummating left and right.
God. Yeah, you've consummated your love for this podcast and your love for Marvel.
Yeah.
So do you have a prior knowledge of these comics?
Of the character, yes. The comics, there's, I guess, from a Genesis story standpoint, sure. It's at this point, almost every Marvel character has had like 3 or 4 different Genesis stories, but they're all pretty basic. So yeah, it's not anything that's outside of the realm of my baser knowledge of the character, for sure.
Okay. Yeah, and this is the kickoff movie for this character.
Are you a fan of Doctor Strange comics, or you just have read him?
I've known of him recently. Like, he's been in a cabal of sorts with some of the other major players and all the different aspects of the Marvel Universe, the mutants and Iron Man, Captain America, all sorts of stuff. So he's been pretty important for a lot of storylines since like the mid-2000s. But prior to that, really just kind of like was aware that he was a guy that had gray hair at his temples and a weird cape.
Yeah.
I think he showed up in like the Spider-Man animated cartoon a couple times, and I was just like, well, that guy's
never going to get a movie.
Nope, never.
Yeah, they packed a lot of guys into that Spider-Man show. I remember Blade and the Punisher showing up in there, too.
Oh, yeah. A couple Wolverine crossovers.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Man, that was a great show.
Oh, hell yeah. That was a quality show. It was good.
Now, the thing we all really want to know is, how racist was the original character?
Very racist. was basically just a Fu Manchu away from being the most racist thing that it could be. I think I actually heard someone try and justify the fact that he was so squinty that he was wise and that it wasn't a racist Asian stereotype.
And wait, I was like, is he not white in the comics?
He eventually became white.
Like Michael Jackson.
Yes, minus the vitiligo. He was, it was definitely kind of a, it was not good. Not good.
Okay, if you look back at it. Canonically, is he white now?
Yes, he's been white since, I don't know, probably 15 issues into his run, his comic book run. Oh, he was okay. Like a... kind of like a an introduced character in Strange Tales, and then, you know, his character was kind of fleshed out more. They wanted to make it more magical. They figured they'd already added gods and stuff with Thor and everything, so they figured why not even get more magic. But initially thought, hey, it would be a good idea to have this be the most racist Asian caricature ever, and then we're like, well, maybe not. So much.
Isn't it still kind of racist that like him and like Iron Fist are both like white saviors from who like have
The whole Mighty Whitey trope
of the Far East? Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Dances with Wolves, all that type of stuff, yeah, but exactly. Just from the Orient. Yeah, it's kind of strange.
Hey,
oh,
we're gonna have to play the Pee Wee's Playhouse Secret Word every time someone says strange.
Yeah, not subtle. Not subtle at all.
Dr. Demento was taken, unfortunately.
And Jared, did you have any prior knowledge?
I even missed the Spider-Man episode that this guy was on. I knew nothing about him. I knew that he existed, but he was just one of those, like, kind of like Iron Fist. The only thing I know Iron Fist from is, I think one of those, like, dungeon crawler Marvel games that came out a couple years ago where you all like
Ultimate Alliance stuff,
yeah, something like that, where just like a bunch of people played and there was a bunch of characters in there and you never really cared about who they were.
Who's the other guy in Spider-Man with like the big fishbowl on his head?
Mysterio.
Mysterio, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think I always confuse these two guys for each other.
They could be the same under that fishbowl. I don't know if I've they've ever shown his face. I've never seen his face.
There could be anyone in there.
There you go. Could even be you.
Shit. Wait, can we curse on this thing? We can curse, right?
Yeah, I marked these all as explicit, yeah. So that's all good.
I saw that. Got it. Yeah, I was really happy to see that.
You can even say three times per episode you can say the N-word, but it has to be context appropriate.
Whoa. Oh, okay, got it.
That's an iTunes rule.
Yeah, we didn't make that up. That's no, that was in the
that's in the
terms
that's in
conditions.
The exactly.
Okay, so I guess would we really even know how close this movie adhered to the comics? Or
I wouldn't. Frankie's a self-described expert. Frankie, so.
It's consummated.
That word keeps coming back, and I'm not a fan. So as far as the origin story is concerned, basically the only thing that you need to know is that he's a doctor beforehand. Surprise. and that he has his hands injured, and it's not really as important that he's in an accident, so much so that when he has the accident and his hands are damaged, it keeps him from being able to do his job, is what sends him into his spiral that leads him to the mystic arts, essentially. So as long as all that stuff happens up front, and then there are characters that are attached to his creation of him being Doctor Strange as a mystic artist, I guess, as opposed to just a actual doctor whose last name is Strange, it's pretty good.
They should have just ripped off that scene from Casino where the guy gets his hands hammered. That would have fucking ruled. And I mean, gambling debt is like, uh-oh, this guy's in dire straits.
If it was one of the Marvel Netflix shows, then they probably would have done that because those tend to get a little bit edgier. But they still had to have a pretty hard PG-13 rating on there. So I think taking
was this PG-13?
I
guess they did
so.
Say it shit a few times, but other than that, it could almost be a PG, I think.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the way, you know, since the Marvel-Disney merger, that's kind of what they're going for, unless it's the Punisher.
I brought my 4-year-old to this one. She was loving it.
Oh, wait, you actually saw Doctor Strange?
Yeah, I saw it. Ethan didn't see it.
Yeah, I'm the only one that didn't see it.
That's something I should have paid attention to.
That's why I'm asking the questions. And
damn it, see, because I was going to make up a whole bunch of shit.
Yeah,
and now
I'm
going to
call you out now.
You still can. You could make up a whole lot of stuff about the comics. We have
that's
no
true.
Knowledge.
I have been the entire time.
Yeah, yeah. We like to bring on other people, tell them that they are experts on whatever field, and then make them.
Have them do our job for us and not pay them.
That's a good move, because then you can be like, well, he said he was an expert.
Yeah, just put all the blame on him. We did that with Adrian twice already.
Yeah, buried that guy.
So, I mean, I guess, do you want to just say, like, your thoughts? Did you like it? Did you not
it? Oh, yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was it's kind of interesting to think about a movie that you enjoy that isn't necessarily a good film.
Sounds like a Marvel film to me.
Exactly. Because it's very difficult for me to divorce my happiness for seeing comic book characters brought to life on the silver screen in an appropriate way, in a non-shitty way. Because a lot of my other interests, I guess, that have been turned into feature films tend to kind of fall flat.
You talk about the Trolls movie, right?
Yes. Especially since I saw them in 380 and I wasted that extra $7. You know, it's when you see, there's obviously a level of polish. There's a formula. There's the Disneyfication of the assets that they have now. So you kind of know what to expect going in, but it's still awesome to see that it's done well, because these movies could still be shitty. Because they're still going to make a lot of money. I think it already doubled its budget, like in the first weekend.
Damn.
Did pretty well overseas. It'll probably bring in $500 million, and you know, just be another feather in the cap for Disney this year, because they've had a monster year. But you know, I can't really think of any of the Marvel movies that have been good films. the first Iron Man, maybe. that's about it. But I guess it's okay for a movie to just be fun, because a lot of movies just are terrible. They spend $1 billion on a movie and it sucks. And yeah. I don't want to point any fingers at Batman versus Superman or anything like that. but you know, it's kind of weird when you have characters that are so beloved, like across the board, that are put into a movie and the movie just isn't fun at all, even if it's not a good film, because Doctor Strange is not a good film, but it's a fun movie to watch. And so I think that still deserves a little bit of credit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Marvel movies are, at least you could say they're polite in a way. They're like friendly to you. I mean, and I had the same problem of figuring out whether this movie sucked ass or was good. And definitely, like, comparisons help. You know, like, I really hated Man of Steel when it came out. It just left me with a bad feeling, and it just, like, pissed me off.
Agreed.
Yeah, this movie didn't. It was very... I mean, they really aim for, like, a B- on other movies, I think. And there is... And I think it's part of, like, an international markets thing, or maybe just broadened their demographics or whatever, but there's always an extremely loose focus. It's like really a hedged bets kind of movie, so there's going to be some action and some comedy, and it's all very broad. But you can kind of expect the same thing you expect with any other Marvel movie, which is going to be pretty decent visuals, pretty straightforward, though, you know, kind of just CG basically visuals.
Yep.
Solid B-list cast, and usually people with some Oscar, you know, they've been in Oscar talks, or they've been in movies that made, you know, won Oscars. You know, quippy, very light, kind of Joss Whedon-esque dialogue. Generally likable characters, but kind of like focus group likable, not necessarily like you really connect with them, but they're just like, again, kind of polite. But I'd say they almost none of them, I can't think of any of them that really have a story. Maybe Captain America 2. And maybe, I don't know, any of Iron Man's.
Does Spider-Man 2 count?
As we No, I'm saying Marvel Cinematic Universe. Yeah, well, I would say compared to something like Spider-Man 2, I mean, it's a very clear difference, because that's a movie with a very specific tone, a very specific story. And... I think before Iron Man, you got that sometimes. Like, we talked last week about how during the kind of the golden age before Iron Man and The Dark Knight kind of set the templates for the two kinds of superhero movies you could make, you got weird movies like Hulk that were like a very specific director put his stamp on it. And I hated that movie, but...
God awful.
Yeah, it was terrible. But if you look at it compared to The Incredible Hulk with Ed Norton... Which is that's a much more like get in line movie of like, we don't want to hear
it's like a corporatized
version. Yeah, it's
well, what's interesting about you saying that is thinking about the Spider-Man movies, the Tobey Maguire ones. Besides maybe the first one, because I think most people would say that the second Spider-Man movie is the best one of those of that trilogy.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, the third one's got no chance, but the first one, I guess people can make an argument for. But what I think was really strong about that movie is not only that it stuck to a specific storyline that was one of the more beloved storylines in the character's history, but it also had a really strong character as the villain, who was very clearly a villain. There was no gray area whatsoever until the very end when he sacrificed himself and all that junk, which is whatever. Probably the worst part of the movie when he like, these arms don't control me anymore. Let me throw this thing into the ocean. Whatever. But
sure, botch on the last pod.
There are a few Aunt May scenes I think could take the title of worst scene in that movie.
Well, in the Aunt May scene where she's in the hospital and saying the Lord's Prayer in the first movie with the Green Goblin, that's so bad.
He's like, finish it.
That movie had a lot of weird signs in it, or a lot of weird scenes in it, though. They had Macy Gray in that movie.
Oh, yeah, that was very strange, too.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of the Marvel movies, since, especially considering that they're so beholden to the interconnectivity of the universe, that the stories tend to get a lot more... amorphous. They're not really, they're kind of just like reminders that the characters are cool. Instead of, like, actually developing the characters themselves.
Yeah, well, that's, I mean, I guess to get into it. So that's really what my problem is with the Marvel movies, is that they all feel, and I think I kind of forgave it leading up to the Avengers, they all feel like the first 10 minutes of a movie stretched out over an entire movie, because you kind of, it is basically just, hey, this guy exists, and here's the kind of thing he does. He beats up, and they grab a villain at the last second and throw him in, and, you know, there's a fight with the villain.
Yeah.
And... then the Avengers came out, and it was like, all right, well, here's the story they're going to tell. And they're like, oh, here's the story. There's all these guys, and then they fight, there's an army that comes at the end, and they fight them. And it's like, well, that, to me, I haven't watched that many of the Marvel movies since then, but it does feel like that story that they were getting ready to tell isn't going to be told, because they are kind of doing this. It's so interconnected that they really can't possibly, with, you know, without like a George R. R. Martin level of forethought, connect them in any meaningful way. So instead you get these kind of like one-off reminders that they exist. And I would say this movie is kind of the same thing. It's essentially, if you took the first act and the last act of Batman Begins and like shoved them together, it's basically Doctor Strange goes to train in the Far East. And while he's there, some shit goes down with those mystics or whatever they're called, sorcerers. And then, like he shuts it down, and it's a really weird, it's a weird lack of a story, because everything is kind of played. It's very hard to describe. I remember when I was, I'm not as fond of most of the Marvel movies as anyone typically. Like, I didn't really even like Guardians of the Galaxy, which everyone loved. Mm-hmm. And what I didn't like about the movie, it gave me a mental sense of, as if you're playing with paper dolls, and you've got the paper dolls like in one scene, and then you move them to the next scene, and you move it to the next scene, and there's no real character driven story happening. So it feels very flat in a weird way. And this movie felt very flat in the sense that Doctor Strange is kind of doing something, he's training. All of a sudden, the villain just kind of shows up, and they're like, oh, no, he's going to take out... I mean, should we go for the plot of this, Frankie? Would that help?
I mean,
would that help you?
Yeah, I mean...
Frankie, sure. why don't you quickly summarize the plot?
Yeah, sure. So, after the initial accident that he's in that cripples his hands, he goes through, you know, trying to... all the traditional medicine and experimental medicine and everything, and nothing's working. He essentially finds out that... his last gasp chance to get his hands back to be able to continue to be the person that he is in Marrakesh. So he goes there. He stumbles across what'd you say his name? How you said his name? Choo Choo number four or whatever.
Widow Choo Choo.
Choo Choo choose you.
Yeah. He stumbles across him, who takes him to meet the Ancient One, who is Tilda Swinton's character. It kind of has the you're going to train me now. No, it doesn't happen. So he throws himself upon his mercy, because the whole, I think, is a deconstruction of his character as an asshole and trying to bring a bit of humility into him.
Yeah. Well, like you mentioned in your review, this is in a large degree, this is a retread of the Iron Man character.
Very much so. It's kind of like this guy who is, for all intents and purposes, just a terrible human being who treats everyone who even cares about him a little bit like garbage, is humbled by an experience, a trauma, and then while gaining a bit of humility also is gaining power in some way whatsoever. And instead of it being a suit that he makes because he's a genius, it's powers that he gains by studying real hard because he is also, surprise, a genius. So...
be geniuses.
Yes, they either have to be geniuses or rich, both usually also handsome and very good with women for some reason. he trains and he, you know, slowly gains humility and power, and then he is presented with a next to impossible task to achieve. However, he is also the only person who can achieve this task, surprise, surprise, especially given that he has a limited amount of training. And also has like, basically just read books at this point. So
at least he's white, though.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
He shows up, he's white, so he's like miraculously better at this than everyone else.
Exactly. And so not to be, you know, we the world that we live in, especially in the United States currently, he is a white male. He probably owns land.
So he can vote.
Yeah, he's been able to vote as long as this has been a country.
Probably should have put a spoiler tag right before that. He is white.
Oh, that's true.
I'll put a spoiler tag at the beginning of this whole thing.
Okay, good.
You have the ancient one who is a woman, but she can't get it done. And then you all have Chiwetel, who is a black man who has been training for forever, cannot get it done. And then the other
Chiwetel
major
succeeds in not dying first, though.
That's true.
Is a very
that is very
progressive
true.
Movie.
However, this isn't a horror movie. So if it was a horror movie, he would have been gone already. And then the only other major player as far as the mystic arts is concerned is Benedict Wong's character, who is also named Wong. So it's like real original. But that's, you know, that's just a funny coincidence. Asian man, can't get it done.
Yeah.
But white guy who comes in and basically it's almost like a you know, have you guys ever had the Empire Strikes Back argument about how long Luke actually trained at Dagobah?
Yeah, because it's like an afternoon.
No, I never had the argument, though.
Because people are like, oh, well, you know, some people will be like, oh, with travel time to Bespin, blah, 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 he had been there for whatever, whatever. And it's like, but in reality, he'd probably been there for like maybe a day.
Yeah. I mean, also, if you do the travel time thing, I mean, they weren't going light speed, so it would have been like 4 million years.
Exactly. So it's like
no matter how you cut it, that movie doesn't quite make sense.
True. And he went from a guy that could, you know, barely kind of pull a lightsaber out of some snow to being almost able to kick Darth Vader's ass.
You
and
know
it just
what
happened
drove
so
me
quickly.
Nuts about this movie is that they even mention at the beginning, he asks Tilda Swinton, who I enjoyed in this. I've never seen her as a good character in a movie. She's always a real reprehensible character, and I always love her, but she's also very likable in this. Anyway, he asks her, how do I get to where you are? And, you know, they're like, oh, years of training and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, my thing, as hard men listeners will know, or the listener knows, I'm big on hair in movies as a visual representation of time. Why not just have him not gray at the temples at the beginning of the movie? And then he studies for a while, and then you see he's gray at the temples. You're like, it's been a while.
Especially considering that, you know, that's a big part of this movie, the whole concept of time and space.
Yes.
So it wouldn't even necessarily need to have been, you know, actual years in real life, but in some kind of pocket dimension where he was able to study and then also became gray-templed, as you said.
See, I thought you were going to, with the hair talk, I thought you were going to talk about why didn't Tilda Swinton have hair.
Grow hair.
Yeah, I thought you were going to go
grow hair at some point.
Like Samson.
Just out of her ball cap.
You know? People are only powerful if they have long hair.
Yeah, she had a very weird ball cap because it has like a weird scar on the back of her head.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if that was an intentional artistic scar or if she had a lobotomy but in the back of her head or what.
They were like, let's get two of the weirdest looking actors, one male, one female.
Yeah,
let's make them both
Eddie
even
Redmayne
weirder.
On this one.
For real. Well, he was filming Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. So that's why.
There you go.
Coming
he's
out.
He's
not soon.
That weird looking.
He's grown into his face a little more. He used to be an intensely ugly man.
He's not a hot chick level.
Yeah, I think it's weird. He's got like a chin that doesn't quite match up with the center of his nose. It's almost like it's like he got punched or he's being punched constantly. So it's like just right off center. But hey, ladies love him.
Yeah.
Yeah, ladies love weird faces.
Mm-hmm.
I think Benedict Cumberbatch's biggest problem is his chin. There's some weird stuff going on in that chinular region.
You got a chin thing.
Yeah, I think, Derek had posted his new in theaters, and he posted on the really how weird does he look scale that it's actually the stepdad facial hair kind of helps cover up his weird chin. I mean, he's still incredibly weird looking.
And this
movie was extremely distracting because it felt like he was doing a Dr. House impression the entire movie.
Oh, 100%. Especially early on when he was in full-on douchebag mode. That's what it was.
I would say that's another problem I had is that I didn't really get a good feel of his character. I mean, I know that basically everyone in the Marvel Cinematic Universe has to be, you know, really quick with the quips.
Yeah.
But he's right. like a kind of a chill doctor who does music trivia during his intense operations. But then
which was so out of place.
Yeah,
I know that
it was almost a Tarantino-esque kind of thing.
I think their intent was to like re-reference that when they were talking about his photographic memory, his ability to tell you when a song came out, what the record was, who it was, the year when it was recorded, all that stuff was just this guy can remember a bunch of shit that could be useless. However, when you put him in front of a book of mystic arts, he can lock it all down within a night.
Yeah, it also seemed like a case of, well, how do we prove that this guy's super smart and has a great memory? It's like, oh, well, he could solve some, like, medical problem. It's like, oh, well, that might be hard to research. What about just some dumb music trivia that I can Google right now?
Yeah, that we all know.
Well, there's that. So he's super chill, and then he goes into freak-out mode because some guy was misdiagnosed. He had a bullet in his brain, but he wasn't dead, and they were going to harvest his organs. So he's like, no, get him under the operating table. I'm doing this now. And then it's like, oh, wow, this guy really cares about whatever this is. And then Rachel McAdams is like, oh, why don't you join the ER? And he's like, saving people? Sounds fucking gay. I'm not going to do that. And it's like, what is your character, dude? Do you give a shit about this or don't you? And then as he's in the temple, he's like learning that like other dimensions exist and he can do magic. And then, you know, at his midway point, obviously, as he's still failing the hero's journey, he's like, I'm just really in this to get my hands back, man. I'm not in for all this shit. And it's like, what? What is wrong with you, dude? Like, you just want to get your hands back and start, like, doing surgery again? Magic exists, and you're in, like, the ground floor of it?
He's missing a good honk-off. I'm driving nuts.
Well, maybe every time he does it, it's like the Stranger now.
Yeah, he does, like, mystical...
Oh. Yeah, oops. if you had seen his hands, how fucked up they were, it would 100% be a Stranger situation.
Yeah, that definitely a Stranger at the bus stop at that point.
He just his hands get fucked up.
He's in the world's worst car accident. The car flips like 80 times off a cliff, and it's like, hey,
but they make sure make very very sure that you see that his hands are what are getting damaged.
Yeah,
like. It's got the pretty standard, like, the car is flipping a million times. You see his face rocking from side to side from all of the concussive forces that are hitting him and everything. But they slow it way, way down to show his hands go into basically where the speedometer and everything is. So that's how you know that they got fucked up. It could have just been a car crash, but they wanted to make really, really sure that you knew that his hands got fucked up.
At this point,
that's why
though,
you gotta keep him 10-2.
Does it even matter if his hands are fucked up? Couldn't he just get like new hands from Tony Stark? Like, certainly that guy could make hands.
Yeah, they made Phil Coulson in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show a new hand that works out just great, and actually I think projects a holographic version of Captain America's shield. So yeah, they could totally make him some hands,
even better hands.
This guy's wasting a lot of time.
What's his face? Winter Soldier has a whole goddamn arm.
That's right.
He would be fine. I guess maybe, you know, maybe the point is that he wouldn't have his hands, which are the hands that can do all the magical medicine stuff that he needs to do.
I mean, they're
do,
still not good. You can't jack off with a metal arm.
I don't know. We should ask Bucky about that. He might disagree.
Yeah. So
have to
I mean,
real
that's...
careful.
That's one of the things that, like, in terms of how this relates to the Marvel, I mean, I think all of the movies kind of suffer for that, because there's always that, like, why didn't you just call Iron Man, you know, moment in the movie. And so this one,
yeah,
I feel like
I think...
they show, like, at the Avengers Tower early on, it's like, just don't show that, because then I'm not thinking about, you know, why don't you just ask this guy?
Yeah, and the mid-credits teaser was basically meant to show why Thor wasn't in the Civil War movie.
Oh, he wasn't.
And
in
also,
that one?
Yeah, and also to show, like, you know, obviously now Doctor Strange is gonna show up in the next Thor movie in some way, shape, or form. So they wanted to make sure they're like, wait, who the fuck is this guy again?
You know, the thing is though, I feel like the character of Doctor. I mean, I feel like his origin story is fairly boring. I mean, it doesn't have the kind of personal stakes that like Batman or Spider-Man's origin stories have. So yep. I feel like he would have worked better as just the breakout character in a big ensemble cast movie. So when, you know, Infinity War or whatever comes out,
mm-hmm.
I mean, the thing is also Marvel care, they seem to put so little into creating villains that it might have been more interesting if they had based a movie around a hero, or maybe a hero that initially seems like a villain. I don't know, but obviously Doctor Strange is so kind of like above everyone else because he's
mm-hmm.
like the master of several universes and is magic. It almost seems weird to give him like this plucky origin story when he really could just show up and be the most interesting thing in a new movie. So in a way, I don't think this movie should exist.
Well, I guess what'll be interesting, because to kind of test that theory, is going to be when the Black Panther movie comes out, whenever that comes out, because that is kind of what happened with him in Civil War. He was presented as kind of like an ancillary character and then became really badass, not only like in costume in hero mode, but also as an individual character. And then I'm assuming that his movie will take place after the events of Civil War and not be an origin story per se. So that works out, then yeah, that should have been the way that this had been handled. But I guess it all just depends.
Yeah, because sometimes I wonder, like, do we even need origin stories anymore? Like, can't we just jump into the action and then just leave the rest up to, like, just go home and Google it? If you really care much.
I think that gives a lot of credit to audiences that is not studios are in the business of doing.
Well, I wonder
especially
about
the international market.
Because I don't know if that's just a if it's like a maybe a generational thing, but I mean I grew up on like, you know, Indiana Jones and Back to the Future and whatnot, replaying on TV. And so a lot of those movies that I loved as a kid, I never saw the opening 10 minutes of until I'd seen it like 30 times. And in a way, I feel like, I don't know if that's affected the way I view movies, but like when I watched Inception, I really liked that movie opens up without really telling you anything. And you're kind of just like, what's going on? And I really hated that it mm-hmm. then like hit the brakes and is like, oh, here's a, you know, audience surrogate character they can explain everything to.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have loved it much more if they just kept going without telling you anything, and you just kind of pick it up. So, again, I don't know if that's just based on my history and how I kind of grew up watching some of the classic adventure trilogies, but I generally don't need an origin story, and I kind of like when they don't do one. I mean, they did, well, I don't know, they did like three Wolverine movies with the X-Men before they did a true origin story for him, and I think it was kind of fine. I think it was better than the origin story, which was terrible.
Yeah, it's a tough, I don't know, I guess you have to find some kind of middle ground so you don't just lose the average viewer who has no idea of any of this. But
I guess, but I mean, his name is Doctor Strange. I mean, again, I don't know the comic, but just between the cape and the weird face and the name Doctor Strange, he seems like an enigmatic character that would be totally fine to just be like, oh, and this guy's magic. Because, I mean, as far as what they're getting across in this movie, like I said, I didn't really care for his character, but also the whole explanation of what magic is. I mean, they don't really explain it. They say they pull in energy from another dimension, but they don't really, you know, explain what that means or how you do it other than like focusing and swirling your hands around. So if they just had him show up in the next movie, he's like, hey, here's what I do. I'm magic, and start doing these things. I don't really think it would matter. I mean, I guess that's the thing, is maybe there was an origin movie that could have made itself worthwhile, but I don't think at the end of this movie, you have much knowledge that you didn't have before other than, oh, this is a guy named Doctor Strange.
It seems like they're kind of is just a formula now, and like just they're kind of plugging and playing these characters in.
Well, it's definitely that case.
So, oh yeah, I mean it's almost like I don't know. Sometimes you think like, are people even giving thought to whether you would need to do some of the origin story like tropes that they've established already for each of these characters, or is it just like, okay, this is just how we do the kickoff movie for this character so that we can integrate him into like one of the ensemble movies.
Yeah, I mean, I would say as we were talking Spider-Man 2, and it was kind of impressive how much the script like tied into each other. And it's really weird when you watch a movie that things just kind of happen. And then you're like, okay, I guess this is happening now.
I mean, I guess a character like Doctor Strange is a little bit less known by the full audience. But like, if you were to make a Spider-Man movie today, like, would you really have to do the origin? I don't think so.
Again, or...
Well, I mean, I guess that's a bad example because they've done it like five times in the past 6 years.
That would be tough. But if they did, well, I guess they kind of already have, considering they introduced the new Batman and they, I guess, kind of reminded you, just in case you forgot, that his parents were killed and that's why he is Batman.
Did they do that again by way in Marvel and Batman vs. Superman?
Yeah, but it was just a couple of flashbacks. Okay. It was one major flashback in the beginning and then like a callback to a flashback, which is a very weird movie trick that I wouldn't recommend any other film use. But I would think that that would be enough. However, as much as the film was enjoyable, not a good film, but a fun movie to watch. It is essentially just a vehicle to open up another aspect of the Marvel Cinematic Universe and really is just kind of there to create the space for another Infinity Stone to exist within a movie that precedes the Infinity War movies that will be coming out in 2017 or 2018. I can't remember when.
I mean, are they really going to make a movie about like five Chaos Emeralds?
I think so. Yeah, essentially. Yeah. which will really test the patience of the audience that they have created, because obviously there are going to be people like me that are going to see it and probably think it's badass because it's like a payoff for all the other stuff that they've done. But that's really, really stretching I don't want to even say patience, but like the attention span of an audience that has been, you know, just basically there because they like to wear Captain America t-shirts that they buy from Target or dress up like the Hulk on Halloween, you know.
It's Jared like had that shirt, by the way.
Well, of I course. Had it years and years ago, though. I had it like in high school.
Yeah, sure.
So I just think I understand why they've done it, and I don't think that it is a misstep to choose to have that part of the universe opened up, because I really think that there could be some cool movies that come out of Doctor Strange as a character. But saying that an origin story was anything but basically just a reason to have some magical artifact also be an Infinity Stone would be giving the studio a lot of credit. That's what it is. That's what it's a vehicle for, 100%. And it's fine. I mean, it's part of their plan, their phase setup that they have with these movies and everything, but I think that takes away from any attempt at integrity they had from a story standpoint.
Well, I mean, I think to be fair to them, I mean, I think Batman Begins is one of the only good origin stories, like right out of the gate. I mean, I like Batman 1989 also, and I don't know, maybe you could say the same for the original Superman, but I mean, how many movies get an origin story as like their first one out of the gate and it's good?
It's funny because it just seems like no one really enjoys that part of it. They're like, okay, we understand you have to get this out of the way so we can like kick it off in the second movie or the ensemble movie. Yeah. But it's just so funny to me that like everyone's like seems tired of it, but it's just an obligation at this point.
I mean, I think the weird thing is that nobody copies Nolan, which what he did with Begins, it wasn't just the darkness of it that everyone loves. It was that he diced up the narrative so that you don't have that slog of 20 minutes of him. I mean, imagine watching Batman Begins in chronological order. That would be an insanely boring first half hour of the movie, because it would just be him as a kid and then his parents die and then he's a teenager and he wants to kill the guy and the guys. And it would be terrible going through that. But the fact that you already know, oh, he's training to be a ninja kind of breaks it up.
Well, I think that's a symptom of the fact that Chris Nolan was like given the keys to the kingdom and was just able to kind of make a movie that also just happened to be a Batman movie.
Yeah, that and was a gift as, to come after Schumacher.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, kind of you could see the wheel start to come off as the movies went along. I mean, obviously, The Dark Knight, I would say, again, and this is my opinion, but that,
you don't
that
have to
is
sugarcoat
the,
it. We're hard men.
Well, I think it's the best one of the three.
Fucking wrong, yes. Frankie. Fucking wrong.
But you could see the studio approach start to get attached to the movie.
Yeah.
You know, like kind of shoehorning in the Two-Face character and building that up and attempting to create that as the future of the franchise. And then obviously, you know, the death of Heath Ledger and everything kind of put a kibosh on all that. And then the third movie was just kind of a mess. It's still enjoyable again, but just kind of a mess.
Enjoyable. And do you like every superhero movie you see?
Almost.
What's probably, the last bad one you saw?
Green Lantern was terrible.
I didn't see that, but you've seen all of them? Hearing how bad it is.
I probably have, maybe. I've seen definitely seen most.
Like both Fantastic Four movies?
Awful.
Oh, God.
Very terrible.
Actually, I guess there are three of them. I forgot. There's the
remake. That most recent one is a... can I say abortion?
I was going to say that.
Yeah, it's like literally...
I was going to say stillbirth.
And figuratively, it's just I don't... Just I don't understand how it got made the way it got made.
That was apparently, that's a lot of studio issues. The director and the studio apparently were like at war.
That's like, like the worst example.
Well, and I think that kind of comes back to the point, right? Like, that's what happens when you have someone that is attempting to be creative with a known quantity.
Scott Derrickson knew better than that.
Very true.
So we got Doctor Strange, and then there's a Black Panther. Is that it? Is that all the pieces left before
like
they
the
start
new
cranking
ones?
It up?
Cranking what?
Yeah, like the origin stories left.
Oh, I don't know. They have like 18 movies in the making.
Captain Marvel will be coming out within the next couple of years.
That's DC, though.
No, that's just Marvel Man, or just Marvel, I think.
Wait, they're making a new guy?
No, Captain Marvel is a pre-existing... it's a woman, yes. Yes, it is.
Wait, Captain Marvel is DC. Isn't that the guy who says Shazam? Mind.
Is it?
The guy
is that
Marvel.
Captain Marvel, too?
No. It's Marvel. It's definitely Marvel. I just Googled the thing.
So it is Miss... It was originally Miss Marvel, but now it's Captain because she is a captain. So that has changed. I don't know... If the movie itself will be Captain or Miss, but yes.
When are they going to ever get their hands on the X-Men? That's got to be fucking annoying.
I think it'll eventually come to a head the same way that it did with the Spider-Man character and the property, that it will be something that is a joint money-making venture between the studio that owns it and the Marvel studio.
Yeah.
So I think it'll eventually shift over to the creative property being produced by Marvel Studios, but then the revenue being shared between the two.
Imagine being the guy that they recast as Wolverine.
I was just gonna say, if they do that, man, just shut it down.
That's gonna be hard to do, dude.
Pack it
in. It's gonna be real.
It's impossible.
Well, I think they would just have to, just kind of like they did with Spider-Man, just burn it all down and just go for it. Yeah. Because I think, you know, people are like,
make two shitty movies with Andrew Garfield to burn it down and then...
Yeah, just to kill all the goodwill. Yeah.
You gotta go through it's a process.
Mm-hmm.
They should just use the stills from all of the different movies Hugh Jackman's been in and just like cut and paste
and
it into.
It.
Yeah. We can
and
do
you know
that.
You know what would be even better? Is if they didn't even try and do any kind of motion with it. It was kind of like stick figures. Yeah. So would like those puppets you were talking about from Guardians of the Galaxy. They just kind of move that picture of Hugh Jackman from side to side.
Well, they could just pull a Paul Walker. I mean, they brought Paul Walker back to life for the end of that last movie.
That was so creepy.
They could just put Hugh Jackman's face. That's what I wonder about. At what point do actors have rights to their face? Or can you just put him in a movie?
Well, I remember...
Ooh, I hope we lose that soon.
I remember when they were talking... did you guys ever... You saw Revenge of the Sith, right? The third prequel Star Wars movie?
Yeah.
Yep.
So at the end of that, But at the end of it, they have
Tarkin.
What's it? Yeah. I can't remember the actor's name.
Peter Cushing.
Peter Cushing, yeah.
That's Why do I know that?
They had a CG'd version of him, and then not too long after that, they had the CG Jeff Bridges in the Tron movie.
That's right, yeah.
Tron 2.
Made him younger, yeah.
When George Lucas was still involved with his own movies, he was talking about creating digital versions of Carrie Fisher and Harrison Ford and Mark Hamill to be able to do 7, 8, and 9.
Yeah.
So that, I think that was kind Keep of like tight. Where things were going for a while, and then it probably dropped off because the technology isn't there yet, but
yeah.
As soon as it is, wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, that's going to be wait. Fucked up, though. God damn it. Why'd you have to remind me of the first Star Wars, dude?
We'll get to that.
Well, we can get into that later. back to Doctor Strange. There's always the question of tone. In that case, I have to say that I fucking hate the only joke that Marvel movies make. And what I realized, I was driving around thinking about this. The joke they make is the same joke that's in Terminator 3. And it's where the Terminator is putting on some glasses and you know he's going to put on, you know, his badass, you know, shades. And instead he grabs these like pink star-shaped glasses and puts them on. And that's the joke, is that this is like this, you know, killing machine from the future that's sent to the past to prevent a nuclear war, and he's wearing silly glasses. And so they do that joke in Doctor Strange. They do it where Doctor Strange is being a smartass to Wong, and he's like, oh, you just won name like Cher or Eminem or Beyonce? And he's like, what, you don't know who Beyonce is? And then a few scenes later, you see that same character Wong, who's this guy living in a temple dedicated to protecting the universe. And he's got earbuds in, and he's listening to all the single ladies.
Yep.
And that's the joke.
That sounds like a
wouldn't
solid
it,
joke.
Wouldn't it be funny if this guy was doing something that a teenage girl would do? And it's like, that's the joke. And they do it constantly. That's the climax of Guardians of the Galaxy. If this guy's come to destroy a planet, he's going to do it. Oh, wait, Chris Pratt is dancing. How ridiculous.
Dance off.
Why would he do that? I don't... Were there any actual laughs in this movie? I heard the theater laughing, but I don't remember if there's anything that I actually found funny.
I think you probably got theater laughs at the Wi-Fi password scene. Because
topical.
That was in the trailer.
Yeah. Well, I might have laughed, but that was in the trailer.
Yeah. The single name thing was not... not a good laugh.
The follow-up, though, was he says to Wong, like, because he's not getting a laugh, he's like, oh, people always laugh at my jokes. And Wong responds, oh, do they work for you? And that was kind of funny. I don't think I laughed at it, but that's kind of a clever stab at this guy's ego, realizing he's just been a dick who people kiss ass for.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the trailer, I really wish that I hadn't seen the trailer, just because I think the Inception battle where they turn New York into a bunch of floating cubes. That was a really cool scene, actually. And it was one of the only scenes that I really thought kind of did something cool with the mechanics that they brought into the movie. I don't think it lasted as long as it should have, and I don't think it got as much out of it, because that's obviously a really cool concept, and I think they could have gotten more out of it. But I really wish I hadn't seen that in trailers, and I am glad that I didn't see in trailers the ending fight is in Hong Kong as it reverses through time. Which also they didn't get as much out of as I think you could, but it was still, you know, a cool set piece, considering that it's just like, apropos of nothing, let's fight in a Hong Kong, you know, street.
Well, what do you think about maybe just action movies in general, but specifically with reference to the Marvel movies? It just, especially... We've been talking about how there's not a lot of real story in the majority of these movies. It's really just kind of words until you get to the next action sequence.
Yeah.
About that as a way to create a movie, as opposed to, you know, actually creating dialogue and interesting, engaging characters and
well,
stuff like that.
The thing is, like, I remember one thing, the climax of Iron Man 2 is Roddy Piper, or whoever his friend is who's in the War Machine suit, and Tony Stark, they kind of just go back to back and shoot all of the automated robots that Sam Rockwell made. And I was like, that's the most boring thing I've ever seen in my life. Because they're literally just kind of standing there and shooting, and then they're done. If you have 3 hours, Frankie, listen to our podcast on Spider-Man 2, which we did last week. Because one thing we notice is that, you know, integrated into the action scenes is the same kind of feeling of frustration that plagues Peter Parker's character throughout the rest of the movie. And also, the action scenes are kind of satisfying because they work on a principle of kind of cartoon rules, where obviously, you know, Wile E. Coyote, the only thing that makes it funny when he's hit by a rock is that you kind of have a sense of the physics that have caused it to happen, or the physics that are breaking that caused the joke. And those fights are very based on, like, action and reaction. So you see, you know, the Doc Ock would throw a clock, the hand of a giant clock down to Spider-Man. Spider-Man grabs it with his web, and because it's stretchy, it kind of stretches, and he elastics back up, and he shoots it back at him. You know, he then throws it. It's got a kind of a sense to it. These fights, I wouldn't say there was much of that. I actually found it really weird.
That's a fantastic segue.
Yeah.
That is great.
I didn't get any sense of, for one thing, you know what the movie's really missing? There's no sense of scale. So in the opening action scene, Mads Mikkelsen is an evil sorcerer, and he steals the pages that are setting off the plot, even though they're not really talked about for most of the movie. What should have happened instead is, I don't know how you would do it, but if he stole something from, like, a museum, and then, like, police were after him, and you just saw how ineffective, kind of like in X-Men, how, like, Magneto makes guns just completely ineffective. That's what you need, is, like, a sense of what these guys are doing, because basically all they're doing is creating, like, little shields and, like, you know, batons to hit each other with, and it's like, why do you have magic? There's no sense of, like, there's that Harry Potter moment where I think one of the characters shoots a bunch of glass at, I think, Dumbledore, and he uses a spell to turn it all into sand. And that's like a really cool, like, ooh, magic versus magic, counteracting spells. In this one, they're kind of just making laser weapons and then doing...
Yeah.
I think you wrote in your review, it's kind of soft action because...
Very much so.
There's not much grit to it. So, I don't know. I liked... some of the settings
not grounded in reality.
What's that?
It's not grounded in, like, its own context at all.
Not
the
really.
Like, Spider-Man nailed
it. I enjoyed seeing them move the buildings around, but otherwise, no.
Yeah. That, I mean, I think, and again, I don't want to reference my own review. It's fine when Jared does it
on hardmemberplease.com.
Yes. but the background where the fights were taking place was much more exciting than the actual fights themselves, which is a bummer. And to go back to something that Jared said earlier about them not really establishing where the magic comes from and how, which is fine. We don't need to have everything spelled out. But without that frame of reference, you really don't understand why there is a limit to what it is that they're able to do.
Yeah.
So much so that they're just, like, essentially creating, like, jump ropes and trash can lids out of magic. Because it's like, why not just, like, why can't I just hit you with a chain, you know?
There's that scene where, you know, an obviously unprepared Doctor Strange is face to face with Mads Mikkelsen, and he's going to tear down, for whatever reason, his plan involves destroying three temples, which are ancient temples protecting the earth, and for some reason they're built in Hong Kong, London, and New York City. So I don't know if just, like, the Native Americans were hanging out in that building for a long time, but, so Dr. Strange is like, oh shit, this guy's coming up. Mads Mikkelsen makes this weird kind of invisible magic blade that he uses, which, again, you know, you could just use a sword, and, like, what are the properties of this? But anyway, so Dr. Strange, like, puts his hands together, and he kind of makes, like, a cat's cradle of, like, laser between his hands. And you're just like, what does that do? What is that? How does that help? Like, if you had, like, a real version of that, would that help in any way? Is that a real weapon? I don't know. It's very odd.
Yeah. I mean, from everything I read, the action is kind of the main draw of the movie. So I mean, would you guys, should I see this movie? I going into it, I thought you were going to convince me to see it, but now you're convincing me not to see it.
Well, I think if you sit and are critical of anything for a long enough time, you can talk yourself out of just about anything.
That's what we do on this podcast. That's what this podcast is
exactly.
for.
Exactly.
That's why we did it.
I think I could if I sat down long enough, I could probably talk anyone out of seeing Empire Strikes Back, and that's like my favorite movie ever.
That's a good one.
But if I talked about it for long enough, I would probably turn a lot of people off from actually seeing it, because they'd be like, there's a fucking, wait, like a puppet in a swamp? I don't get that. What? I don't understand that at all. And it's like, no, it's like the Force, man. The Force. Good and evil. You don't get that? But I don't... No. In all honesty, being legit, unless you catch us like as a matinee on a Tuesday.
I saw it as a matinee.
If you can like find a theater. You know, that's the way to do it. You know, I saw it the Thursday night before it came out at like 7 o'clock in 3D, because I wanted to get the whole effect and everything. And I'm not bummed about spending that money for it, but I also wouldn't recommend it to anyone else.
Hmm. So, yeah, I was thinking, like, if I saw it, it would have to be in 3D. But, man, I guess I'll save my $20, buy some more Lone Stars.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, at this point, I think it's maybe helpful to think of the Marvel movies as, like, a TV show. Because there's so fucking many of them.
Yeah.
And I would say if this was a TV show, even, you know, the fact that it's such high production value, I would say you could skip that one. Like, I would imagine the reviews after that day's TV show is like, ooh, Marvel, you know, The Avengers, the TV show, dedicates one to an offshoot character, and it's, you could skip it. I mean, my biases, I hope I've made clear throughout this. I don't think I'm not biased against the Marvel movies, and I actually like the idea of superheroes still, but I would slightly disagree with Frankie in that, I mean, we did a lot of, probably went way too deep on Spider-Man 2. We've gone pretty deep on a couple movies. We did Evil Dead. We did a lot of horror movies. And, you know, some meet the test and some don't. Some movies, I think, mm-hmm. the more you talk about them, the more you kind of unveil the thought that went into them. And I think when you get more into that zone of, not nitpicking, but kind of like, you know, peeling away the layers, and you realize there's nothing really under there. I think that that's really the fault of the movie. I don't think that's the fault of thinking too much about it.
Right.
I think there are even dumb movies that you could think a lot about and just accept, well, this is stupid, but it for a stupid movie, it's, you know, it's very cleverly done.
Oh, yeah. I think I was reading something about a guy offering people like $1,000 to basically write a thesis about why Twins was the best movie that's ever existed.
Ethan, you got to grab that money, dude. You could write that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that all of the prizes that he put up have not been claimed yet. But so I think, you know, I do agree with that sentiment. I think that it probably, depending on the quality of the movie and your willingness to forego thought at times, you can make anything either great or terrible. But yeah. This one, I think, is one of the ones where Doctor Strange, I think, if you think about it too much, you start to kind of see that there's not a real center to it. It's kind of very, very facade-based.
Yeah,
kind of, it looks pretty. It's real pretty, but there's not a lot going on inside.
It's an illusion. Okay.
It's an unfinished basement.
There you go. All right, let's wrap it up on that note. The favorite part of this podcast from all of our one listener is discovering or discussing who you think is the hardest man in the movie, and we like to leave the definition of hardest man up to you. So, who do you think is the
which,
hardest
by the
man,
way, that
Doctor
decision
Strange?
Has led to nothing but confusion.
It's not really a decision.
The first time we did it with Adrian. The first time we did it, he chose the guy who he most wanted to sleep with, I think.
Oh,
and then,
interesting.
Last time on Spider-Man 2, Kuji was our guest, and he just picked the person he thought had the hardest erection.
Huh.
So there you go. That's what's leading up to this.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm for continuity's sake, I'm going to answer both of those and then my own interpretation. So oh, most most want to sleep with would probably be Choo Choo number 4, just because...
ride that train.
Well, I've never been with a black person of any gender, so I might as well start there. So why not? Hardest erection would probably be the gentleman, the guy who was essentially like medically cuckolded at the beginning of the movie. That guy, because I'm assuming that that's what he's used to, so he probably does get off on that. Yeah. But I'm gonna go with probably what would be the more direct hard man, as in the toughest guy. Mm-hmm. And I think I'll go with Benedict Wong, because you know what? Actually, I think he would just be a hard man to please in general, just based off of his demeanor.
Yeah, he's hard to get a laugh out of him, certainly.
Yep. He ends up laughing at the end of the movie over something that I don't even remember what it was.
It was when Doctor Strange beats the bad guy, he calls back to earlier in the movie, he says, "Oh, you guys should have read the whole book, because the warnings for these spells come after the spells," which is something that he learned earlier in the movie.
Had mentioned before, yep.
It's very much like a closing credits. and a terrible joke.
And they all freeze frame and high five. Yeah.
Yep. You get the credits at the end.
Yeah. I would say the hardest man... I would say Chiwetel Ejiofor, because he chews out Doctor Strange for being a little bitch about murdering people for what you believe in. And then as the movie
goes on...
chews
him out for being too edgy? Chiwetel Ejiofor. Yeah, fuck.
And then later in the movie, it turns out that their leader has kind of a broken pedestal, and she's broken some of the rules, that he's very rigid about the rules. And instead of accepting it, which you kind of assume, he's just like, fuck this, I'm out. And I'm like, oh, way to stick by your guns, guy. So, Chiwetel, I would say. Mordo, which, if that didn't... That Mordo, name kind of, I guess, tricks you off that this guy's not going to be a good character forever.
Nope.
I do want to say before we close, despite I think the dialogue was shit and the story was not good, all the actors, Mads Mikkelsen was amazing. Rachel McAdams, in a very thankless role, was... as pleasant as ever. Tilda Swinton, very enjoyable. Actually, I didn't like Benedict Cumberbatch, so I'll take that back. I think he was no good. But everyone else.
Yeah, I was going to say, it does seem like a good tight cast there. Yeah,
they deserved better. Well, better glad to hear they did good.
Yeah, I think one of the things that kept it from the cracks from showing a little bit more is the fact that even though the story wasn't that good, it was direct in its intent,
yeah,
and that along with the small cast and the fact that everyone that was in it more or less was pretty solid at what they were given.
Yeah, they definitely elevated it beyond what it could have been.
Totally, totally. It could have been way worse. If they had gotten Joaquin Phoenix, yeah. Oh God, no. Joaquin Phoenix was going to be Doctor Strange.
You know, the thing is, I feel like he was really good in The Master. And her.
He was.
But I can't see him in something like this.
No. It doesn't seem like that would be up his alley.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, now is the part of the show. I go through some corrections and omissions from previous podcasts. So, last time we did talk about Spider-Man 2. And we mentioned the comic book artist Alex Ross. And I asked the question everyone was thinking, which is he related to Bob Ross? And we have confirmed, no, he is not.
That is correct.
Blowing everyone's mind on this one.
Another one from Spider-Man 2. These are actually all from Spider-Man 2. But we referred to actor Bill Nunn exclusively as Riddhi Rahim. And I'm not really sure why this is a correction, but he's dead now. And he deserves our respect.
Yeah, but I mean, it's
also
just an omission.
Rahim's a badass character.
Why not mention his actual name? We mentioned all the other actors' names.
Oh, yeah, okay. Omissions, I see. Last time, also, Jared was trying to reference the Four Tops, I Can't Help Myself, Sugar Pie Honey Bunch, but he drank a little too much honey punch. He said sugar high punny punch. How'd you fuck that up so bad?
I don't know. I just listened to it. It's, you know, it's just a bit of a spoonerism. Song. I've been on Twitter too much. I'm too prone to spoonerisms now.
Yeah. What's a spoonerism? We'll find out next time.
Fucking idiot.
Oh, there's one more. There's one more. two of the four writers for Spider-Man 2, we need to mention, I guess, that they were...
also dead.
At the time of writing it.
They deserve our respect. they worked on Shanghai Noon.
Yeah, they were the sole writers for that gem.
Oh, they were, okay. So that's incredible.
That movie got a sequel, right? Shanghai Night or something like that?
Yeah, it did, and I think it's actually getting a third one coming out soon. Shanghai.
With Jackie Chan and whichever Wilson that is?
I think it is Owen Wilson still. What is it called? Shanghai something.
So they got Noon, they got Nights. What's the last pun you can do? Shanghai Dawn?
Early Morning? Shanghai Elevensies?
Oh, I never got that pun. That's pretty good.
There you go.
I got the Shanghai Noon one. Not just
Shanghai Dawn.
Shanghai Dawn? Dong?
Well, I mean, if we want to round it out with the racism, totally.
That's how we do it here. That's it.
Yeah, yeah.
Cap it off. All right. Follow us on Twitter, Hard Men to Please. As we mentioned, Frankie wrote a lovely review of Doctor Strange in our article.
Oh, it was lovely?
It was lovely.
Oh, man.
That was the consensus.
I knew I came on this podcast for a reason, just for that.
We could probably maybe expect some more down the road, maybe?
Nope, just one. One and done.
Damn it.
Frankie, Rogue One's...
Nah. Oh, of course. That thing is going to be a real long podcast because we got a lot of Star Wars stuff to talk about.
Yeah, we're really backed up.
Yeah, it'll be 5-hour mark.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So you can email us some questions at hardmentoplease@gmail.com. Subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher. And that's about it, folks.
Well, goodbye, listener. We love you.
Goodbye. We love you.
Adios. I